Hi, and welcome to Caffeinated Inspiration Podcast. I'm Christina Riley, your host. I just want to welcome you to sit back and enjoy your cup of coffee with us.
Due to the social distancing, we've decided to start doing our interviews through Zoom. And so this is our first Zoom interview with my very good friend, Amy Sweeke.
Hello.
So what are you drinking today?
Some Black Rifle coffee with some creamer and stevia. It's healthier. So
that's trying good. Healthy is a good thing. I kind of tend to drink too much coffee. This is just a blackberry sage tea, so it's pretty yummy. From your perspective, because you work at a hospital, you're one of those essential warriors that's still out there. You guys also have multiple businesses, and you also have two kids. How are you doing?
Personal life, it's a lot quieter, which honestly, in a way, is kind of nice. Instead of running in all the crazy meetings, getting the kids here and there, now it's all via Zoom, which has been an adjustment for them. I know they miss their friends and sleepovers and play dates, that kind of stuff. CJ, my husband, is home more, a lot more, but he's kept himself fairly busy with projects. But just finding that new normal and new balance for the things that have changed and figuring it out as we go. I think it kind of hit me last Sunday, Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
So a lot of times that weekend we go and travel to see family and spend it with them. And obviously we can't do that right now. We just made some new traditions and toasted and cheered together.
Are you doing homeschooling?
Yeah, we had been doing public school at home with a public charter school. So we were already kind of on that path. A little bit's changed there for the kids in schooling. If they're going to meet with their teacher, it's via Zoom instead of in-person meetings.
But yeah,
that was an easier transition for us than for some. I know it's been challenging. I've been praying for those parents, because I know even for us doing it with a public school teacher and in the public school system, but at home, like, I still spent and do spend a lot of time preparing what kind of curriculum are we going to do and trying to figure out how to engage with the kids and get them to do what they're supposed to do, because it's different, you know, having a parent that's your parent and your teacher helping you learn, and then all of a sudden there's all these parents that are, oh, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
And they still have their teachers as resources too, but it's something new within days or weeks instead of a process, something that they chose for their family. It was thrust upon them.
Mm-hmm. Is there any things that you would try to recommend to somebody that's struggling with the forced change that you don't have control over, and how you've stayed positive through that?
I think the serenity prayer comes to mind, that the portion that talks about God grant me the wisdom to basically recognize the things I can change and versus what I can't, and have peace and serenity in that.
Yeah.
And recognizing that tomorrow's another day. Today may not have been great. But tomorrow's another day. Take a deep breath and it's okay.
I think that's an important thing, is to not look too far ahead, to just focus on today.
Right. Yes. I think especially in this, because what we knew about this virus and the information that was out there and how we maybe thought it would be or imagined it would be, I'm sure for myself, I know, is very different today than what it was a month ago.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah. It seems like things are constantly changing. It's unsettling because there is this layer of unknowing.
The unknown. Yeah. And that we like to know. We like to have the answers, but we don't. So just trying to look just a little bit ahead, you know, tomorrow's another day. Don't worry about tomorrow. But at the same time, if today didn't go as planned, then that's okay. Especially with schooling kids, they're resilient and they're little sponges, and they're probably picking up a lot more than what we think as parents, and using the resources that we have. There's all kinds of places online that have opened up things for kids to participate in. And there's teachers out there too that, you know, they still have their teachers as resources. And, you know, as a family, we've made some new traditions. We did that last weekend.
What kind of traditions did you add?
First time ever, we made the deviled eggs. I've never made those before. Little tiny shepherd's pies and just some new dishes. We like to cook. So we kind of incorporated some things that we would have with family elsewhere, and then came up with our own things.
That's cool.
That's
really cool.
And still, you know, did some stuff for the kids and trying to make some memories, you know. Hey, remember back when all that happened? What we did? And the kids enjoyed it. So just trying to find some new things, some new traditions, and finding something that is maybe stable. Even if for me, it's my coffee every morning.
Yeah.
Oh. <You know? laughs> I've realized it's not drinking the coffee itself. It's the making the coffee, the having that cup, that one little thing that I do every day. For me, that brings me some grounding. Having some quiet time, even if it's just 5 minutes.
When you mentioned before of remembering all of the time that God has been there for you, all the time that he's provided for you, I think that's like one of the biggest keys to this is remembering God's faithfulness and remembering that, you know, God is not surprised at this at all. Really? And he's not the bad guy. You know, a lot of people think, you know, well, God caused this bad thing to happen. That's not the case at all. I had this one project last year for a church, and they wanted me to compile all of these really negative news feeds of just tragedies around the world. The premise was that I was supposed to edit a video with all of that stuff and make it positive. And all of the stuff I was looking at was terrifying me. It really, really bothered my heart. I didn't feel peace. You know, even as a Christian, I was afraid. And I didn't even want to do that project. I was purposefully avoiding the news. I didn't want to see it. I didn't, you know, and then I got a project where I had to.
Yeah.
And I had to really trust and rely on God to help me. And I remember I was in a hotel room and I was working on this project and I was just laying in the bed working on my laptop. And I remember praying to God. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me with this because looking at this, I don't see hope at all. I see death. I see destruction. I see things that are awful. I don't see anything good in this. And I need your help to see the good. I can't see it by myself. And when I prayed that, all of a sudden I saw it was like all this disaster all around. There's like a hurricane. There's just, you know, just all of this awful stuff in the footage. And it's real. It's not fake, you know?
Yeah.
And you hear people screaming, you hear the real stuff. And I remember after I prayed that prayer, all of a sudden God shifted my focus from where I was afraid of the scary stuff, you know, and he shifted my focus and he caused me to look at this boat and this guy reaching down and pulling someone into the boat. And I heard God so strongly in my heart, you're looking at the wrong thing. I am not in the storm. I am the one saving people. I am working through these people, I am the good in this. And there is good, you have to look for it. And when I saw that, all of a sudden, the story to me was God's grace. And it wasn't terror. It was like, all these bad things happened, but that was caused by the enemy.
Yeah.
But God was the good in it. You know, the Bible mentions that the enemy, he tries to roar like a lion, like he's very vicious and loud. But when God speaks to us, he speaks like with a whisper. It's like very quietly, he speaks to us. And I saw that in that because when I looked at all the footage, all I saw and heard was this, it was like that roaring intimidation that's packed with fear and anxious thoughts and the unknown. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. That's the lion roaring. That's the facade of the enemy. But the stillness, the quietness of the rescuer reaching down, rescuing somebody, hugging somebody, putting a blanket around someone, giving them food, sheltering them, that is the love of God. And that's the truth. And that's the whisper. And I didn't see it at all until I prayed and asked God for help in that because I was so overwhelmed with negative, anxious thoughts. I couldn't figure out how to edit that project. And I remember thinking, there is no hope. There is no hope, God. This is hopeless. And then that's whenever he showed me that. And then he spoke into my heart and said, there's always hope. Whenever you were, you know, talking, it makes me remember that. And this too, God is not behind all of the deaths and stuff. God is not in that, but he is with us and he's still protecting us. He's always provided for us and he always will.
Absolutely.
And it's a temporary thing. You know, things will get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, the enemy, it seems like he always tries to tell us this one lie of it's never going to get better.
Right.
And,
the hopelessness.
Yeah. It's easy to see the negative more than the positive because the negative can be so loud and in your face.
The prayer that you were talking about, I mean, that wasn't a long prayer, Christina, but look at what all God showed you in that and did.
Yeah. And, you know, to be completely honest, when I prayed that little prayer, I feel like I prayed it in doubt, not even in faith, because I wasn't even expecting to find good because all I could see was bad. I think I was even struggling with doubting the goodness of God in that, you know, because I really was struggling because I thought, well, you know what? I can't find the good. That reminds me too, when you were talking about you're praying more with every little thing, things that you wouldn't normally pray about, you're praying about. I think that's important because I think sometimes we overthink it when we pray, when we just be raw, honest with God and just pray about like,
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with this, God. Can you help me? You know, something as simple as that. I feel like by doing that, you're honoring God because you're keeping him involved in your millisecond of your life, in your daily decisions. And okay, little thing I can tell you. So like coffee. Okay, I'm a big coffee girl. I love my coffee. And for years, I wanted to do latte art. I could not do it at all. And I tried and I accepted defeat for a long time. But during the quarantine, I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm going to learn how to do latte art. And I really couldn't do it. And so the more I got adamant about it, like, I'm going to do this, it just got worse and worse. And I prayed and I was like, God, I really want to do latte art. Can you help me, please? I can't get this. And it was something so silly. You would think, well, that's a selfish prayer. You shouldn't even pray. You shouldn't waste God's time with that. But that's not, you know, God hears all of our hearts and he cares about all of the things that we care about. And even latte art. And I kid you not, you know, after, it wasn't like right after, but the next day I did it again and something clicked and I can make a heart now.
That's awesome.
So, a little bitty thing, but it, you know what? It gave me so much joy and to be able to make it the way that I would order it. And I loved going at coffee shops and getting that special coffee. That was like my time.
Yes. You
know? And then like all this happens and then that goes away. Yeah. And then you're like,
that was your thing.
and then you know, feeling like you're helpless, you can't do it, and then asking God, hey, can you give me this new skill set? And there's no purpose behind it other than it would just make you happy for like 5 minutes, you know. But something just as simple as that, just pray about everything, and it really helps you reduce your anxiety. I've noticed I've had ups and downs. Like some days I do better than others.
Yeah.
But I remember one day specifically, what reminded me of this is when you were talking about how you integrated new recipes in your family and you cook a lot more now. I've been cooking a lot more now too. And I've noticed like the process of cooking, like getting your hands, cutting up things, mm-hmm. it's relaxing to a point. Yeah. That's almost therapeutic to a degree. And one day I was making this one recipe and it had beans and it had dried beans. And I remember growing up when I was a kid, my grandma on my mom's side, she would always have beans. Like I was sick of beans when I was a kid. I'm like, I don't go to grandma's because she always has red beans and cornbread. but you know, I've missed my grandma like a lot. I wasn't even thinking about that at all. But anyways, I had this recipe and it called for beans. And so I was cooking beans the slow way, like my grandma did. And I've never, ever made red beans before that way. And the house had this smell and the smell reminded me of my grandma.
Yeah. And
I opened my window sill and I don't ever do that usually. And then the fresh air came in and I can't even describe how much joy it gave me. And like slowing down, closed my eyes, and I recognized that smell that I could smell at my grandma's house because she also had her doors open all the time. And so it always smelled like the outside fresh air. And I didn't even like it back then. I thought, oh, can't they just close the door? You know, I didn't even enjoy it back then. But just the little thing of having that window open, slow cooking red beans, and then smelling that aroma that was a memory, a good memory of my grandma.
Yeah.
In her house and how she would do that all the time. And I just closed my eyes and I could just see her face happy. And it really made me, it was a small pleasure and it really like brought me joy that day.
Aww.
Like all day through, like, I just thought, wow, that was like a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm just making beans. I just opened the window. But I think like little things like that, in the midst of all this chaos, there's little things that you can do that can really kind of slow you down and help you to find something that brings you joy. You know, the Bible talks about think on these things that are pure, just, and of a good report. And it's not always easy to do that.
No, right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, just little things, like something as little as that, just opening up a window and smelling the breeze. If the breeze, you know, hits your face while you're washing your hands and the window's right there, slow down, just close your eyes, take a break, and just enjoy yeah. that, feel that, or step outside. Little things seem to really help.
Totally. Yeah. I was thinking, stepping outside, especially when it's nicer weather that we're moving into, and getting a little bit of sunshine, going on a walk. I think those things change how we feel. God made us that way. When we get outside and can move around and go on a little walk or get some sunshine, that can really, really change us. Let the kids go out and play. And
yeah, on one of my down days, you know, I'd notice if I don't stick to a schedule, I don't do so well. It seems like if you're just kind of home constantly, I think it's the unknowing of just not having a set schedule.
Yeah,
is what kind of messes some things up for me personally. And so that's one thing that I want to start being really diligent on, is having a set schedule, because I've noticed a pattern is the days that I keep a set schedule, it really changes my entire outlook that day. I'm more positive. I tend to just be in a better headspace those days. Going outside too, like one day I made me a cup of coffee and I thought, you know, I'm going to just take my coffee and sit in the sunlight. And so I took a chair outside in my front yard and I just felt the sun rays on my face while I just quiet. There was nobody out there and you just hear the birds and the wind. And it was just a little thing like that could really make a difference, you know?
Absolutely. Talking about keeping a schedule, I've noticed I'm that way too. I do better if I have some routine in my life, you know, and kids are that way. And I think adults are too, for the most part, some more so than others. We're all different, but we can, you know, there's a difference in, you know, working through the week or whatever one's normal work schedule is, and then having your couple of days off where you sleep in and maybe don't get out of your pajamas. Maybe even a week because you had a planned staycation. But then when you have something like this happen where you're home day after day after day, I think it's probably easy to fall into a slump of not doing anything. So if we make ourselves at least, you know, not every day, but some days, okay, set the alarm or get up at, I'm going to get up at this time, go to sleep at this time. Mm-hmm. And you know what, today I'm going to get out of my pajamas and put on clothes, put on makeup, put my shoes on or have my shoes ready. Like maybe I was going to go out, you know, go put your shoes on and go outside. But having that routine and maybe setting some mini goals or like the latte art or is there something new to do? But it's easy to fall into a day and then where you just sleep in and whatever happens that day happens. But I think as that starts to happen day after day after day, if that's happening day after day, it gets hard on a person. And by the end of the day, you're like, where did it go? And what do I do? And that, you know.
Yeah. One thing that kind of happens when you allow yourself to go into a slump like that, it opens you up to like depression.
Yes.
You know, I think what happens is you get into a point where you're like, okay, I'm just going to wear pajamas all the time. I'm not going to do my hair. I'm not going to do my makeup. And then what you're kind of doing to yourself that you don't even realize is you're kind of devaluing yourself for a long period of time. I'm not saying that wearing pajamas, not wearing makeup, that's not what I mean. That doesn't add value to you. But I just think there's some things that makes you feel good about yourself that you can do. You don't have to do it all the time. But for me, you know, before all this, you know, I work from home mostly. Whenever I'm not traveling or whenever I'm not on location, I'm working from home. And so that's something that I've kind of learned a long time ago was, okay, I gotta dress a certain way when I'm at home. It kind of sets me in a better place. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it, but I've noticed, you know, it really does make a difference in the way that you feel about yourself.
But yeah, but it kind of sets the tone and sets a routine. And there was a lady that I used to follow some of her stuff on how to keep your house clean and spilling my coffee here and different things. And she talked about that. And I stayed home with the kids for a little while. I was able to do that. But one of the things she talked about was doing that, was getting up in the morning and going ahead and getting dressed, getting everybody ready first. Even if you don't have anywhere to go till the afternoon, you're dressed and ready. And it kind of makes you feel different. And so I started doing that and noticed the same thing. Like, oh, you know, I didn't necessarily, I don't always wear makeup. I've worn it just a couple times in the last month. I put some on just for you all today.
I haven't worn makeup like all month. I'm gonna put a little bit of makeup on.
I've gotten some nail stickers from Walmart. I was like, I'm gonna do that for
now. Oh, cool.
just a thing, but I've noticed, you know, just getting up, put on jeans and a t-shirt, you know, instead of my pajamas. But that really helped in those times. And I think that even now, like you're saying, just falling into a slump, it kind of sets us up for depression, whatever it may be. Some people doing their hair and makeup, that's their thing, and there is nothing wrong with that. And you know, if that's something you did before, then go ahead and do it now if that was important. But even if that wasn't your thing, just getting up and, I don't know, for some reason, maybe it's part of the routine. Maybe it's, you know, telling your body like, oh, I'm not just in my pajamas with nothing to do all day. You know, maybe it's a mental thing, you know, that I've got something to do, somewhere to go, something to accomplish, or I did accomplish something. I got dressed. That's cool.
Well, you know, you mentioned before is one thing is having small goals. I like that. It really, I think that's a really good advice.
One step at a time, one little goal at a time. I'm one that I tend to, there's a lot I want to accomplish in a day and it's usually too much. Finally, you know, my mom used to tell me that when I was a kid and I was like, nah, as an adult, I started to realize it more. And then my husband's like, yeah, you have all this you want to get done, but that's not going to happen. So it's taken me a long time to figure out the small bite-sized goals and what's actually accomplishable.
You know, I love that because, you know, this reminds me of something that you mentioned earlier. And I think it could be summed up in allowing grace for yourself, to give yourself grace.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lesson I've been learning too, because I'm so much harder on myself than I am for other people. And that's one thing that God's been showing me personally, and that I can see it in what you're saying is, you know, allow yourself grace. You know, maybe you had this huge goal for this one thing and then you got this much of it done. That's awesome. You got this much of it done. Like that's moved forward or... You know, or if you didn't get to it, you know, don't be so hard on yourself.
I've been realizing that more with myself too. Like the grace, like you said, I have grace for the other people, especially if they're outside my family, but myself. And then God's been showing me too, like my kids, I'm like, I have my expectations. And I think, you know, as a parent, you know, we want to expect and have all these hopes and dreams for our kids, but right now things are shifting and their normal is shifting and has shifted, and I have grace for them too, and I have to have grace for my kids and what's shifted in their lives and how that's affected them. It's going to show up different for everybody.
Off topic a little bit, I watched this one video earlier today. It was a perspective of a psychologist, and she specializes in patients with anxiety. And she talked about like kind of what's going on around the world. And she said that the anxiety is kind of like attacking people like in waves, where it kind of hits you and then it goes away and then it kind of hits you again. She talked about recognize it's like a pattern. There's a lot of people afraid. There's a lot of people struggling with anxiety, and then people that already have it gets increased. And I thought it was interesting that she talked about how anxiety can hit us as like a wave. And it reminded me of like how they talk about the coronavirus is coming in waves. Mm-hmm. It seems like a spiritual battle as well, you know, like that's kind of aligned with it.
Yeah.
And those waves are not God's waves. Those waves are spiritual attacks of the enemy.
Yeah.
I think that's why it just stood out so much to me is when she talked about the waves with anxiety.
Yeah.
One thing she mentioned was that anxiety is the root of almost all mental disorders. And it's not all, but I mean, it's like a high number. I don't remember the exact number, but it's like the tipping root. And so it made me think about how the enemy uses anxiety and fear to really attack a person viciously. Yeah. I've heard some people say, oh, it's okay to be anxious. It's okay to accept that, you know, accept that that's your character. You're anxious all the time. I believe that there's, you know, emotions that we have that are natural, but I think there's like a difference of accepting that as that's my personality type. I don't think that's true.
I agree.
You know, I think nobody has that personality type. That's the enemy attacking you.
Yeah.
From a Christian perspective, how are you staying positive? How are you keeping your faith through this?
A lot of reminding myself that he is the provider, and looking back on my life on all the instances where God provided, and whether it was financial or emotional or what, you know, whatever it may have been, just really trying to remind myself of that. And that tends to pull me out and like, okay, if he's provided all those times in the past, then why in the world would he suddenly stop? You know? And then looking at you know, trying to take the news in measured steps.
Yeah. Small doses.
Doses. It can be so overwhelming, yeah. And they get all hyped up because that's what people, it's clickbait. So really dialing it back and sometimes just turning it off and looking at the big picture of things and who's in charge and who's in control. Yeah. And ultimately, I know God's got the best for me, and ultimately heaven is the goal. I mean, you know, I want things great. I want things good for my family here, but you know, just remind myself that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and then times I've gotten frustrated, has been self-employed, and you know, what is the guidance for self-employment stuff hasn't come out yet, and things with the, I've had several phone calls to the Small Business Administration to check on things, and it's not the easiest process, and weeks later we still don't know. But just really trying to remind, as I talk to those folks on the phone, you know, you can tell they're doing their best too, and everyone's doing their best, and it's so easy to find faults and to get mad and angry. And I think those emotions aren't unusual. God gave us emotions, but he also gave us ways to handle it, and just trying to find that. And then when the anxieties sneak up, I've dealt with that too, like waking up in the middle of the night, I'm like, whoa, just taking that to him, and the little thoughts that try to shoot in, immediately trying to take that to him, because that he's pretty clear on in the Bible, that's anxiety, if that's not from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, where's the peace, and what, if there's something in that, something I always ask myself, Christina, as I dealt with some of that off and on, I call them my crazy thoughts. I would have these crazy thoughts that something would happen to the kids or CJ or whatever. And I would always take those to God and be like, okay, is there anything in that? Am I supposed to pray or do anything? And really every time it wasn't anything,
yeah. You know,
there were times to pray, but that was a different feeling for me. Like, oh, pray now. But learning to recognize through over time when the enemy's trying to attack.
Yeah, I can really relate to that. It reminds me of that scripture, be anxious for nothing and in everything pray. It just reminds me of that. And I can really relate to a lot of what you're saying. I've done the same thing, like woken up in the middle of the night or be able to go to sleep for like a really long time. You're right. Like, it's recognizing when those attacks start to happen. You have a lot of experience as a first responder in crises and disaster relief. Could you tell us just a little bit about that, but also could you give us some advice about coping with how to handle disaster and stay positive?
And my husband and I have done disaster response 2012 and before. We've been to New York after Superstorm Sandy with our young daughter at the time, and ran and still have a foundation here. We responded after the more tornadoes. With disasters, I mean, like a lot we've talked about, that everything's shaken and suddenly, and this one, it's unique in that almost the entire world at some point, a lot of the world all at the same time, and others in waves are experiencing this together. And it's affected us as a nation in ways that, you know, other disasters like you're talking about with the video you did. And I was thinking all the disasters that we see like that, things have hit our community here, but a lot of things are far away. And this is across the board here. As we've talked about, giving yourself grace in the midst of it, knowing that the emotions we experience are natural. It's natural to feel angry. It's natural to be sad. It's natural to be in denial, to bargain with God, to do all these different things. The enemy's going to try to do the anxiety. That's not God, but the enemy will try. But within all that, it's natural to have the waves of feelings, and knowing that God's not surprised by any of that. He knows how we're feeling. It's okay to be raw with him. Okay to cry. He's not surprised. If you're angry at God, he's not surprised. He knows you were feeling that way anyway. So we have all these emotions. God gave us emotions. It's, you know, what do we do with them? As we've talked about through our conversation tonight, focusing on him. It's so easy because the world is so loud and the news media is so loud, and it's available 24/7 on 500 channels.
Yeah. It can ping up on your watch.
It can ping on your watch. Yes. And all kinds of varying opinions and theories and all of that. So, but in the midst of that, like you're talking about, that what God showed you was that responder reaching down, and God was in that. Mm-hmm. So God is there, being raw, being open with him, letting him know, being honest with him. Because when we're honest with him, we're really being honest with ourselves. That kind of gets it off your chest and then opens a dialogue with God. And asking him, like kind of like you did, where are you, God, in all of this? And I truly believe he'll show you. God, what do you have for me in exchange for all this chaos? Mm-hmm. And help me through this. He is there. But still staying focused on him, finding at the end of all of this, we're going to have a new normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there'll be elements of the past, but then we'll have some new things. We're not the same people today we were yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Keep the focus. Try to keep it simple. Take a deep breath. Be honest with yourself and with God. He knows, and he's not surprised.
You've been listening to Caffeinated Inspiration, brought to you by Studio Beanhead. Now, I just want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast. I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to just spend this time with me. I hope and pray that you have a blessed day and that you've enjoyed this time with me over a nice cup of coffee or whatever your beverage of choice is. I appreciate you. I really do.